Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park.
The Shamity.
Kimmel Beach.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Even the theologians, the fifth dimension, sang a song to help us get ready for change. She began to sing, one less bell to answer, one less egg to fry. She said, I should be happy, but all I do is cry. Why? Because we don't like for God to remove the comfortable person. They may no longer be good for us, even if they're good to us. And God will begin to separate those people who are impeding our forward momentum. And so when God in his graciousness, in his love as a father, realizes that you don't have the ability to remove them, he'll remove them for you. He'll cause something to happen that makes them pack up, and you'll have one less bell to answer, one less egg to fry. Please don't be sad. Rejoice when God moves them out of your life. Deep inside, though they may be hanging on, they realize they no longer have an important place in your life. And so through their answers to the life's questions, through their association with you, through their behavioral disbursement, they're saying to you, set me free. Why don't you, babe? Get out my life. Why don't you, babe? You don't really need me, but you keep me hanging on. And there are people that want to be free from you. They keep exhibiting behavior that says, set me free. But you keep them hanging on. You look at them because they've been in your life for so long, and they begin to pull away, but you won't let them go. Even when you know they need to go, you won't let them go. So you look at them and you begin to lament the fact that they need to be gone. And so you call a meeting and say, I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go because you have become so connected to their mediocrity. But I serve a God who pulls us to excellence. And in the context of pulling us to excellence, he will break you free from that person who's keeping you in bondage. I have learned that when God does new things, you don't have to fight when the time comes. Amen. We think that negative things are an indicator of the absence of God. But how does God teach you faith unless he challenges your status quo? How does God teach you to depend upon him unless he challenges your current mode of support? Some of you are being confronted by significant changes in your work environment and in your payment for the same. And you think that God is cursing you, but God is simply flexing your faith muscle. He says, I'm doing something new and you don't even know it. The change from dependency on the natural to dependency in the spirit is dynamic, it's inclusive, it's real, and it is uncomfortable. But saints of God, when your brook dries up, God has a place called Zarephath. But you cannot get to Zarephath until your brook dries up. Holler. Stop complaining about the brook drying up and look for that new move of God. God won't drop you off into obscurity, but when he closes a door, he's got a window with more opportunities. Why does God expose us to negativity? So that we may learn to embrace the positive. Many of us learn about God through theory, few of us through practice. And because God is so confident and comfortable in his ability, he can let you go through the fire. God never promised you wouldn't go through the fire. God said, but the flames will not kindle upon you. Pentecostals think that not going in the fire, you think that means God is with you. But allow me to call up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro who challenged Nebuchadnezzar and said, we are not bowing down. And even if God does not deliver us, we refuse to bow down. God could have delivered them out of the fire. But God was so confident in his ability to keep them. He said, let my boys go in the furnace and let Nebuchadnezzar turn it up 7 times hotter than it's supposed to be. The greater the trial, the greater the glory. Ow! The greater the frustration, the greater the peace. The greater the problem, the greater the deliverance. They tied my brother's hands up. They bound their feet. Why is that, preacher? Because the first thing the devil wants to do is take your praise. We are called to lift holy hands, but he binds your hands. But it don't matter, devil, if I can't wave my hands, I'll nod my head. If I can't pat my feet, I'll shake my hips, but you can't take my praise. This oven was not used to bake bread. It was an oven used to burn the refuse. It was used to burn the sewage. It was used to burn the undesirable things. When they made it 7 times hotter, it would reach a temperature of approximately 3,200 degrees centigrade. At that temperature, gold ore melts. God is letting the devil turn up the temperature for us, that he may burn off the junk in your life. So all that's left is pure gold. From this day forth, don't look at your trial as a negative. When that fiery trial comes, lift up your hands and tell God, you are effecting change in my life. I might have gone in a rock filled with the ability to become gold, but when I come out, when they went in, the first thing that was burned away was the rope that held their hands and feet. See, the first thing God gives you is your praise. You can't enter into a trial without praise. It's your primary weapon. Come on and chamber that round of praise. Get yourself ready for supernatural deliverance. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but our Lord delivers us out of them all. Get yourself ready for the release of praise. Get the hammer clocked. Get yourself ready to pop off a round of praise at the devil. You may give him Tehillah praise, which is singing a hymn. You may give him Yada praise, which is the extension of the hand. You may give him Baruch praise, which is the waving of the hands. Or you may give him Halal praise, which is crazy praise that comes from survivors. Praise is in the air. But everybody can't praise him, Deacon, because everybody hasn't been through something. Lord, have mercy. Those of you that have caught hell can give him praise. Those of you that have been through hell's kitchen can give him praise. Those of you that have had people walk out on you can give him praise. Those of you that have been wounded can give him praise. Those of you that have been beat down can give him praise. Those whose mothers and fathers have forsaken them can give him praise. Those that the devil has kept up each night can give him praise. There's something breaking in the heavenlies. If you're spiritually sensitive, you can feel it. You can feel it moving in this congregation. Something is breaking in the heavenlies. As the praise is released, some of you are being delivered right now. You're being set free from physical bondage. Those ropes that were around your hands have been broken. Something is coming in your spirit. Something is coming out of your mouth. God said, I'm doing a new thing. It begins in the kingdom of God. It comes through the atmosphere. You can tell when God is about to do a new thing on the earth because you see him doing new things in the heavenlies. The stars are responding to the move of God. The planets are beginning to respond to the move of God. The atmosphere is responding to the move of God. Truly spirit-filled people are beginning to feel something when they step out their house. Out in the streets, you feel something about to break. If you're spiritually sensitive, you feel something in the weather. You think it's a rainstorm, but it's a spirit break. Something is about to hit the church. There's a power coming to us to cast out devils, to beat back forces of darkness, to bring healing. Listen. God says something here. He says, I'm going to do this thing. It's going to spread. It's just going to happen. Bam! He says, will you be able to recognize it? Listen to what he says. He says, when this new thing hits, I'm going to make a way in your wilderness. Now, a way is not something, as I said this morning, a way is not something that you discover on your own. A way is something that, someplace that other people have tried. Hebrews 11 tells us the way. The way is faith. And it gives you a whole list of people who've already exercised faith. So you're not by yourself. Get off yourself. You're not by yourself. Follow somebody else. But then he says something unique. I'm going to give you rivers in the desert. Listen to this. He said, God, why are you doing this? He said, my working is going to be so effective. In verse 20, he said, the beasts are going to honor me. Lord, y'all ain't hearing the pastor. He said, my working is going to be so new and so significant that the beasts are going to honor me. The dragons and the owls. He said, because I'm putting water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That speaks of supply. Tell somebody, God's giving you all you need. Tell somebody else. Oh, my God, I hear him. Listen to what he says. He says, I'm giving. Now, the first time he said he's going to make a way in the wilderness. Now he's saying, I'm going to put waters in there. Water always speaks of blessing and provision. Y'all hearing me? In the wilderness of humanistic understanding, in the wilderness of ecclesiastical darkness, in the wilderness of theological doubt, in the wilderness of personal hurt feelings, I'm going to give you sustenance. So when the devil thinks he has you, he's going to be surprised that you coming out of the wilderness. How did it feel when you came out of the wilderness leaning on the Lord? Listen to what he says. I'm giving these waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert for one purpose, to give drink to my people. Where are the Lord's people? Where are you? Oh, sookie, sookie now. We're the Lord's people. That means God is promising you in your times of difficulty, he's going to meet your need. You best settle in the provision. You've been wandering around in frustration trying to find out how you're going to make ends meet. But as of today, the 17th of January, 2016, 1:08 in the afternoon, the prophet of God is telling you that God's about to bring water to your dryness. He's going to open up a way so that you will not worry anymore. Listen to this. He said, this people have I formed for myself. God said, this people I formed for myself. Do you hear what God said? God made us for him. You ever make something for yourself? You ever notice how you, you're not bougie when you cook for yourself? You ever notice that? When you go to make eggs for somebody else, you just all, you know, sediddy with it. You know, just I keep the flame turned down so I don't burn the eggs because I don't want them to think I can't cook. Then you empty it out on a plate because you don't want them to think you're cheap, so you won't put it on a paper plate. Then when you bring them a glass of water, you won't put it in a Tupperware tumbler. You put it in a crystal wine glass. Then you fold up the napkin to serve it to them so they'll think you have etiquette and manners. But when you're by yourself, you break those eggs open, toss the shells right back on the countertop. You figure I'll get them later. You put your egg in, and if it gets a little burn on it, you don't care because you like a little crust on your egg. Then you just throw it into a paper plate because you say it don't matter what instrument you serve it on, long as you know it's a good egg. Then you grab a paper styrofoam cup and fill it up with water because it's just you. God is saying, I'm bringing you past your bougie-ness. You don't have to be ashamed to praise me. Stop coming to church bougie, dressed up so I can't anoint you. But get yourself in my presence and dress like you ready to be blessed. If I can't pour the oil on you, don't wear it. Don't wear what you can't be slain in. Don't wear what I can't anoint you in. Stop coming in here with St. John if you don't want St. John to be say, leave Louis at home if Louis can't be hit by the anointing. Don't come before my presence with grandeur. Come with humility. I'm doing a new thing. You have one purpose and one purpose only. According to Isaiah 43:21. You have been formed by God, for God, to show forth his praise. You are the ones that God has filled with his presence to demonstrate his praise. I wish I had somebody. I'm walking in the Acme, going down the frozen food section, looking for a popsicle. Spirit of God hit me. I'm looking around because I'm embarrassed. Because I'm in a public place. Holy Spirit said, what you embarrassed about? I said, Lord, all these people up in here, I don't know these people. They liable to call the cops on me. They're going to write me up and commit me. He said, for this purpose you were born, and I sent you in here. Notice I didn't touch you over in the cereal section. I didn't touch you over in the dairy section. I touched you over here because there's somebody in this section that needed to be jump-started. I touched you over here because somebody was saying, God, are you alive? So I sent one of my live wires over in our glory to let them know that there is a God who still sits high, who is still saving sinners, who is still healing the sick. I need you to carry my praise. Everybody else takes the time to praise their God, to demonstrate their worship of him in the streets. But we are so sediddy and silent that we dare not give God a shout of jubilant praise. It seems like we're afraid to be instruments of change. I told you how I was following a young man on Wyoming Avenue. I turned off the boulevard and got on Wyoming Avenue on my way to Broad Street. It was a summer day, and he had his rap music on, turned all the way up on his stereo. I don't know who the rap star was, but it all sounds the same, and they all do the same thing. Just a bunch of puppets on a string. No. He was playing this stuff. And when we reached 9th and Wyoming, the light caught us. And he jumped out his car and began to dance to his music. I took offense. I put in my Ron Canole tape, turned it all the way up on my car. God had the next traffic light to be red. I put it in park and jumped out. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted him to know there's a God in Israel who is still on the throne. Satan is not winning. People were looking at me, but I didn't care, because I have the key to eternal life, and his name is Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is looking for people who aren't afraid to change the atmosphere. It is not the situation that binds you. It is not the situation that imprisons you. It is not the situation that defeats you. It is the atmosphere. When the devil invades the atmosphere, he takes away hope. He takes away faith. He takes away praise. And so the atmosphere becomes inundated with the doubtful things of the devil. It becomes inundated with the darkness of his satanic kingdom. God is looking for atmosphere changers. And that is why he dispenses us in various places at certain times, that we may change the atmosphere. It's called mood music for a reason. You don't go into the doctor's office and they play songs of faith and deliverance. They play stuff that makes you think about your sickness. They keep that mood of sickness. Because they know if you get healed, it puts them out of business. When you come to church, there ought to be songs of deliverance. This mood ought to be one of expectation. The praise team ought to sing to set you free. Ah! Glory. Glory. Watch, 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 watch. Shelaboko se telabasha. Listen, listen. The change that is necessary is one that comes through your experience. Do not despise the day of small things. Do not despise what you've gone through, for it teaches you something about the God you serve. Too long we have lived on the theory of God's ability, but God wants you to have the practicum. No longer will you be able to say God is a provider unless you've had to have need of him providing. No longer will you say God is a healer unless he has healed you from a situation. You will no longer say Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother until you lost someone that he've had to replace. People, get ready. There's a change a-coming. There's a change a-coming. Tell somebody, there's a change a-coming. Say it just like I said it. There's a change a-coming. The devil is beating some of you down because last week you got some bad news. And you've already begun to anticipate your need. You've already begun to anticipate the failure. You even settled into the reality of the failure. But God said, I caused this to happen, to take your eyes off of that channel and put those eyes onto me. And the way you let him know that you trust him is by getting your praise on like you used to. Some of you have allowed pain to take your praise away. But I'm telling you, you need to change that atmosphere and praise him through the pain. Let me move on and God help me. The atmosphere of change. The atmosphere must change. The atmosphere for change must change your current atmosphere. Some of you are just here because it's tradition. Some of you are here because you are leaders in the church and you know you should be here. But a few are here because they love him and they brought a gift called worship. I'm no fool. Everybody ain't in here with that gift. Some came wanting him to do something. Others came thanking him for what he did. They're the ones who make the other ones angry because it seems that they keep getting more. And here you that are wanting him to do something haven't gotten anything. But the ones who thank him for what he's already done keep getting more. It's not that God's a respecter of persons. It's that they keep making room on the plate. In Exodus chapter 33. 30 chapters after their initial meeting. 30 chapters after their initial meeting. Moses has seen God turn bitter water into palatable water. He has seen God send manna and bless the people. He has seen God open up the Red Sea and kill the Egyptians. But I'm thankful that he wasn't Pentecostal. He did not rest on the previous miracle of God's provision. But in Exodus 33, verse 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it just outside the camp. He pitched it in Sheltenham, just outside of the city of Brotherly Shove. Y'all ain't hearing me. We're close enough for them to get to us, but we're far enough to have a different insurance rate. We insure 5 vehicles for cheaper than some of you do your car. Because we're in Sheltenham. We're just across the double yellow line. Y'all ain't hearing me. See, when you get saved, God doesn't make you better. He just moves you to Sheltenham. He said, I got provisions and blessings and grace over there. But I'm keeping you close enough so you don't get seditious. Yeah. 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 Don't forget where you came from. Amen. Every now and then you ought to have some chicken feet and rice. Every now and then you ought to have some black-eyed peas and collards. With a little smoked turkey in there to give it some flavor. Every now and then. No, you don't need no chitlins. I know some of you are going, every now and then you got to have some chitlins. No, ain't eating nothing that processes. But every now and then, you got to have yourself some chicken. And get away from that filet mignon every now and then. Remember where you come from. Every now and then, you got to straighten your own hair. Get in the kitchen. Get back there in the kitchen. Every now and then, you got to burn yourself. Amen. Before there was a weave, there was a dodge. The person who would do your hair, they used to put a glob of grease on their back hand. Sit up here. Put them curlers right on the stove, right on the flame. No, there was nothing to regulate the temperature. That thing was 175 degrees. They would just roll it around till it wasn't smoking no more. Then just fry your hair. They just fry. You'd hear it. All because you didn't want to look like Kunta Kinte. Wanted to look like Barbara Streisand. There was a price to pay. Run that straightening comb while they're holding conversations with somebody in another room. They burn you and you twitch. Sit up here. This is not a clinical term, but it's one that was created by you hair straighteners. You tenderheaded. That's not a medical term. You created it because they wouldn't sit there and let you rake that little comb through those naps and pull it. Sit up here. You just tenderheaded. I wasn't born that way. But Lord, when they came out with Vigoral, when they came out with the perm, you embrace that change. Thank God for the change. Wrap it up and just wait till it does its work. Then when they came out with the Jerry curl, you were real happy. Just walk around with your activator. I wonder if you're looking in the spirit. You kept that activator for when your curls dried out. You could reinvigorate them. When your praise dries out, what's the activator? Trouble. Say, why is God sending trouble? Your praise is drying out. You're losing your curl. Here comes trouble. Why? Bless the Lord on my soul and all that is. Why does he want praise? Why is he sending trouble? Trouble will make you praise him. Just let your soul glow. Watch this. And Moses went out to the tabernacle. And it came to pass in verse 8 that when he went out to the tabernacle, that all the people stood up and everybody went into their door. And they watched Moses until he went to the tabernacle. Every pastor, every leader, every deacon, deaconess, minister in here, pay attention to this passage. The people are watching you. We ought to be the first ones in here with praise and worship. The leaders ought to take their posts with praise coming out of their mouths. Not debate, not confusion, not deep spirituality, but with praise and worship. Why? The people will emulate what they see Moses do. They watched Moses until he was gone in the tabernacle, but they took notice of one thing, that when he went into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. See, all God needs is one person to change the atmosphere. And that pillar stood at the door, and the Lord talked with Moses. I love this. It didn't say to Moses. This was a dialogue between friends. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and did what? Worshiped. See, when God comes in our midst, it's time to worship. And everyone does it where? In his tent door. That means the worship is so significant that you take it home with you. When you come into church, it should be an extension of what you've been doing at home. The reason why some of you have no praise at church is because you have no praise at home. But I'm challenging you right now to change that bad boy. Change the atmosphere in your home. Make your home a place of praise. Watch this. It says, and as the Lord spoke to Moses, how? Face to face. That he said, as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned into the camp. But his servant Joshua, a young man, did not leave the tabernacle. Moses went back. After he receives what he needs, he's about to go back into the camp. He turned to go back into the camp, but he ran into Joshua, somebody who was as hungry for change, to set the atmosphere. These are the types of people you want in your life. You want Joshuas, people who seek. You don't want people who want to be big shots in ministry. You want people who seek. Moses took that. He took that to mean, God has given me an opportunity. He says, and Moses said to the Lord, you say to me, bring the people up. And you didn't let me even know who you'll send with me. He says this after observing Joshua. You didn't even let me know who's going to help me. He said, yet you said, I know you by your name, and you have found grace in my sight. Lord, have mercy. Moses said, you called me. You said you knew me by my name. You said I found grace, but you didn't identify a helper. He says, now therefore, if I have found grace, show me your heart. You see, he had already seen his ways. He said, but now show me. The translator uses the word in the English way, but what Moses is saying is show me your heart. Because if I have to judge your people, if I have to work with your people, then it is imperative I know how to do it like you're going to do it. Show me you. He says, that I may know you. So I can continue to find grace. He said, and consider, think about this. These are your people. So give me what I need to work with your people. He's talking to God. He's setting an atmosphere. Something's about to break. Moses' true desire is about to come to the surface. It always starts with worship. It is followed up then by fellowship. It is continue on with confession. God says to him in verse 14, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Again, if that's us Pentecostals, we'll walk away and start shouting, woo! Child, God said he'd be with me and give me rest. But not Moses. Moses said in verse 15, if your presence does not go with me, then leave me right here. What a request. He's changing the atmosphere. He's saying to God, I realize I can't do anything without you. If your presence does not go with me, then don't move us to another building. If your presence does not go with me, then don't do nothing else in this work. If your presence does not go with us, then shut down Bethel until we have your presence. Bethel will not be great because of the numbers of people that attend. Bethel is great because of the God that abides with us. And if his presence is not here, then lock the doors and everybody stay out. For we will not build a monument to people, but we will build a house of prayer. Where people can learn about a God who is holy, a Jesus who is loving, and a Holy Spirit who is filling. But if your presence does not go with us, then don't carry us any further. He says, for how shall it be known to the people that we found grace in your sight unless your presence, he's setting the atmosphere. God, this is ridiculous. That's right, ridiculous. God is setting the atmosphere for the greatest desire to ever be put in a human's mind. He is manipulating this situation. My presence will go with you. If your presence don't go, then don't lead us out of here. For how else will the world know you're with us? It's not by your theology. It's not your Bible quoting ability. It's not your degrees behind your name. It's by the presence. God's presence is so tangible, so real, that when you go down to get on the subway, his presence, people will look at you. You think they're looking at you for some criminal reason. It's not that. It's the devils in them are looking at the presence of God, and they're hoping that you keep it covered. The devil is secretly saying, please sit down. Please sit down. Don't say anything. Don't open your mouth. I see that presence on you. But you have to ask yourself, why this train? Why this car? Somebody on there needs the presence that you have. Lord, we're going to set the atmosphere. It's time for change. Who among us has the courage to enter that subway car and say, Jesus is in the car? I hear the Holy Spirit. I hear the Holy Spirit say it's time to pull down strongholds. It's time to testify about our powerful God. It is time to let the world know that our God is God.
Jesus says that we are the light of the world and that we are the salt of the earth. But just what does that mean? The Bible tells us that we should come out from among them and be separate, that you and I have the command to demonstrate the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and the love of God, so that the world may know that the Lord exists. To that end, the Lord has encouraged us to write a book entitled The Christian and the Culture. The purpose of this book is to give you an opportunity to examine how the culture is trying to pull us into an ungodly lifestyle, but you and I are encouraged to live above the cultural trappings. You need to get this book into your library. There are chapters that talk about confronting the giants in your life, chapters that express God's love for you and how you and I are to separate ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says, by renewing our mind. And that is the basis of change. Our announcer is going to give you all the information you need to get this book into your personal library, to read it over and over and over again, and watch God begin to give you a sense of distinctiveness, so the world will see that Jesus truly is the Lord of all creation.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1316P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.